I'm pretty sure you've seen this. I received a few different DMs about this. Did I hear about the body in South Carolina that was in a cooler or a freezer?
What?
Okay. So this article that I have that I'm going to read from is from the website Dead in House on Facebook. But it says, decomposing body discovered in haunted house in South Carolina. A group of friends are riding four-wheelers on Sunday, January 3rd, 2021, entered into an abandoned house that many in the area suspect to be haunted. When they discovered a decomposing body stuffed in a deep freezer located on the back porch. Authorities determined that the remains were human, but have not been identified. And then the cause of death has yet to be determined also. 2 days later, after the body was found, the house suspiciously burns down, Tamara.
What?
Authorities are investigating both homicide and the fire. Yeah, that's real suspicious. And I did not know this, but a little fun fact. In South Carolina, a seller or agent is not required to close if a death has happened in the property or not.
It's not?
No. In South Carolina, they do not have to tell us if somebody died or was murdered.
Well, I'm going to do some research before I buy a house.
So I was just like,
that's creepy. I did not know that. Yeah, I thought they had to disclose that here.
I did not know that either. So you're ready to get into today's story?
So we're on the morning of November 6, 2001. A customer pulled up to a hair salon called Hair Gallery a little before 11 a.m. for her nail appointment.
She's like, I gotta get my nails did.
This salon off of Highway 93 in a small town in Florence, Montana. This already reminds me of the Georgia 13 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Tamara's like, go watch Unsolved Season 1, Episode
13 minutes. Anyways, she saw an oddly dressed man walking out of the salon wearing a large black coat, a top hat, coming out of the front door. I think I'd be a little bit suspicious if I saw that, because who just wears that? I mean,
who wears a top hat?
That's what I'm saying. That's kind of suspicious.
Who owns a top hat?
That's why I'd be suspicious.
Can you buy a top hat anymore?
I mean, we're back in 2001, so maybe then. But she didn't think too much more about it at the time. So she parks her car and enters the salon through the back door, which is the main entrance of the salon. When she walked in, she immediately saw 62-year-old owner Dorothy Harris. Dorothy's throat had been slashed, and she was laying face down in a puddle of blood. The customer had to step over Dorothy in order to reach the phone to call 911.
My, where's your cell phone at?
Once officers get to the salon, they find two more bodies. 44-year-old Brenda Patch, who also worked at the... Holy cow, what the heck was that?
I like how slowly you move to. You're like, holy crap, what was that?
I don't feel like I move slow. I feel like I jump like a 1,000 feet and then slowly move the curtain, because you never know what you're going to find behind there. Okay, they found 44-year-old Brenda Patch, who also worked at the salon, and 71-year-old Cynthia Paulus, who found herself in the wrong place at the wrong time. Cynthia had an appointment for Friday morning, but changed it last minute because she was going to a basketball game later that night and wanted to look nice. Yeah, I ain't trying to look nice for a basketball game. So, note to self, if you're going somewhere, you better look how you look right now.
Looking wretched.
Dorothy was described as a chipper grandmother who loved craps.
She loved crap. Just give me all the crap.
She loved the movie diapers.
Oh God, you need to ask Mimi, ask Mom and Buddy, do you just love all the craps? Because I feel like you get a text message saying, your child poop, come get her. So,
I got a call before, but you know.
so I would say our mother does not like all the
She doesn't
craps.
like the craps. My child stinks though,
Yeah,
so
your child's got like adult men poops.
she gets it from her dad. Dorothy was described as a chipper grandmother who loved to craft in her spare time. Her salon was closed on Sundays and Mondays, but every Tuesday, right as the salon would open, she would make her weekly run to the bank. So, just like any other Tuesday, Dorothy headed to the bank, which was about 10 minutes south.
No, it was 10 miles.
10 miles south.
You said 10 minutes.
Yeah, about 10 minutes south. So, just like any other Tuesday, Dorothy headed to the bank, which was about 10 miles south. Officers later revealed that Dorothy arrived back just minutes before her body was found. The theory is Brenda and Cynthia were alone in the salon when the attacker arrived. They were led to the utility room where they were forced to kneel down before having their throats slashed. That hurts my throat just thinking about it. Then that's when Dorothy arrived back at the salon and met her killer in the doorway. All three women were killed with a sharp instrument. You know, kind of like the Axeman.
That's what I was thinking of. That brother who got charged but didn't do it, and
He
it's
was
like,
innocent.
I know, all these wrongful convictions.
Wrongful. Sheriff Johnson stated, "We believe this is really significant. We believe that this woman walked into the salon within a minute or two of the murders. This crime shocked the small town. A resident was quoted saying, 'We haven't locked our doors in 12 years. We're not Los Angeles. This is Florence, Montana, for crying out loud.' The murders of the three ladies were completely brutal. They quickly discovered no items of value or money were missing. But the only evidence found was a pair of black sunglasses that didn't belong to one of the three ladies. So this could have been left behind from a different customer or from the murderer. Family and friends of the three ladies were questioned to try to figure out why and who could have done this. Multiple witnesses in the area saw a guy walking around the area, so they were able to piece together a sketch of this man, which Leslie will post on our Facebook page and everywhere else that she posts it from. He was described as a young male, somewhere in his 20s, early 30s. He was about 6 foot tall with a narrow face. Search dogs were brought out to look for this oddly dressed man, and the scent was picked up in the grass from the front of the salon as well as the alley beside the shop. The scent was also picked up in a dirt parking lot at Wild River Restaurant. So it seemed like he was making his way down the back roads. The dogs were across a school parking lot before the scent was lost in a pasture by One Horse Creek Road. The following day, another dog was brought out because the first one just dead battery, stopped sniffing, as if they could pick up the scent once again. This dog was charged and led officers to a house.
Dun dun dun.
But officers were able
Womp
to clear the
womp
owner of the house because he wasn't physically capable to commit the crime. We just don't know if it's because they had the evidence and they were like, meh, we'll pass on this tip, or if he was extremely old, if he was handicapped, or whatever rules him out.
Who knows?
So, officers did not have much to go on with this mystery man who was oddly dressed, so they declared him as a person of interest. By the next month, this case was an episode of America's Most Wanted. All over the next couple of months, investigators looked into both angles of could this be a random person passing through town or someone who knew at least one of the ladies that were murdered.
But that didn't take long at all for that to become a TV show or a TV episode.
Right.
Like, they wasted no time.
Right. Well, also, we have a similar case that happened in Great Bend, Kansas. This happened on September 4th, 2002. A customer pulled into the parking lot at Dolly Madison Cake Discount Bakery, where she saw a man locking the front door. This customer had been to the bakery before and knew that this man didn't work there. So she, and I don't know for sure that it was a she, but that's what Leslie's going with. But she got out of the car and went to the front door. The guy said, "The bakery is closed for the day." The lady was confused and thought it was odd for them to be closed. So later on that evening, a delivery man, just minding his own business, doing his job, walked in the back entrance of the bakery to find two bodies.
How you say bakery?
Bakery.
You said bakery. Array.
Don't matter. A 24-year-old Mandy Alexander, a mother of two little babies, and a new bakerer who started 3 days ago. Wrong job at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
Then 79-year-old Mary Drake, who came into the bakery to pick up some bread, was both found stabbed to death, laying in a pool of blood. The only main difference between the two cases was at the time a small amount of cash was taken from the register. How do they really know how much money was taken out? Like, maybe the register didn't have that much cash in it in the beginning.
I didn't even think of that, because if all the people that was there is no longer there, how do they know, like, oh, the register started off with $200. We keep $200 in the register at all times.
Right. So.
That is interesting.
And it was a little bit of money was taken out. Not, they were robbed. How much is a little bit? $1? $10? Officers got in touch with the lady who saw the strange man locking up. She stated that he was probably about 6'1", weighing about 175 pounds, had light brown, blonde, shoulder-length hair, and was probably between the ages of 30 and 34 years old. Leslie, an employee at the hotel nearby the bakery, said a man checked in the day of the murder and checked out of the hotel the following day.
With his head shaved.
This guy shaved his head before he checked out.
I'm wondering, how did he dispose of this hair? Did he just leave it in the trash can? Because if so, hello, you're leaving evidence behind.
How you know he didn't just go somewhere and cut it?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Maybe he cut it and put it in a bag and put it in his bag to leave.
Nobody knows.
No new news broke in the Florence Salon case until 2005, when they announced that they had a lead suspect, Brian Walter Weber. He was born in Arizona but grew up in Florence, but during the murders, he was living in Idaho. During the time of the murders, Brian was mid-20s. Brian sold and used meth. He was described as a violent man who committed small petty crimes to support his drug habit. Around the same time of the triple murder, he was visiting his girlfriend, who at some point filed a restraining order against him for domestic violence. Later on in November, Brian was contacted by the local officers in Idaho regards of the triple murder. At this time, he agreed to come in for an investigation interview. search of his van to give a sample of his DNA. Investigators asked him about the hair salon and when he was last time he was there. Brian claims that he hasn't been in that building since he was a child. Then in November of 2003, Brian was arrested for the brutal attack of Keegan Strinnick in a drug deal gone wrong. His bail was set for $100,000 for aggravated robbery and aggravated assault in May of 2004. He accepted a plea deal for a felony robbery and a misdemeanor assault with 3 years of probation. He got a slap on the wrist.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Clark with the DA office said the investigators wanted to keep him locked up as long as possible. But that didn't happen because in July of 2004, he was arrested and was given 24 years. But then in 2005, Brian was released. Inmates came forward and said that Brian said things that tied him to the salon murders. Another individual tied in this case is a guy named Lincoln. He was also arrested on a drug charge. Why are you locking your door excessively? Gosh, he's already done it 10 times. It's like he's OCD and like, did I like it? Did I not like it? Then he just got in his car and who the heck if I know? I got two more lines. The DA was trying to tie the two to the triple murder, so they started building the case around what inmates are telling them. But nothing linking the two were involved in any of these murders other than they were in the town when it happened and left afterwards. Sounds suspicious! So technically, this case is still unsolved.
That's bad.
So bad. So what you got for us now?
Sure. Dodos of the week, because they're not dumb. They dodos. They are some dodo birds. Drunken Arkansas men shoot each other.
Oh, we done left Florida and went to Arkansas.
Shoot each other to test bulletproof vests.
What, does one die or what?
Well, it goes on to say, you know, after a night of drinking, they decided to, you know, test out the strength of their bulletproof vest. So, Charles, age 50, and Christopher, age 36, wind up in the hospital after they told investigators that they were shooting each other. So, basically, you know, like, cops got called.
Oh.
And
I thought it was bad when my husband and my brother-in-laws play BB Wars. Like, they will literally be running around Arkansas, not Arkansas. They'll literally be running, it's on the border of Arkansas, but they'll be running around the fields of Oklahoma just shooting each other with BB guns. Some will be on four-wheelers. My husband just running, climbing up trees. And he was like, we gotta go to the store. We gotta get more BB guns. And I'm like, we broke. We don't have no money. Sorry.
Maybe this is just like
spending money on that
Arkansas thing. But the two were arrested.
Hey, but at least theirs is BB guns. They just dum-dums of the day, not real guns, trying to say, oh, can you shoot me through this vest? Will I die? No, hopefully they ain't that dumb.
But the two were charged with felony aggravated assault before being released on their $5,000 bond. Both face up to 6 years in prison with a max fine of $10,000.
Wow.
A few dodos there.
Well, that's all I got to say is wow. I'm speechless. So, make sure you find us on Facebook at
TCWI Discussion Group.
Instagram at
TCWI underscore podcast underscore.
And if you like us and want to visit our website, go to
thecrimesyou'reinto.com. You can check out our bonus episodes on our Patreon page through the website. You just go over there, click that link, choose which tier fits your needs, and enjoy the greatness that we have to offer you.
Bye!
Bye, you guys!
See ya!
Wouldn't want to be ya! Just kidding!